What were the problems that you encountered in your position when you had to deal with people directly, the workers?
I didn't have any personal problems with the workers. But there was, at that time, not only in Glendalclan paper mills, but throughout industry in Ireland, great resistance to change. There was all this talk of resistance to new technology. I mean, at the time, for example, in the banks, people wouldn't work computers. No, they wouldn't work with it unless they had one. And another company I knew in the electronics business, they found that they could put in a piece of plastic in something they were manufacturing.
But you were in personnel.
Yeah.
And so you had to deal
with the problems.
With the problems that were coming up.
Of increased technology. And there were, traditionally papermaking had been, is that mix ready for the machine? Wait till I poke it with the stick and see. Whereas in manufacturing at that time, quality control was coming in and measurement, and electronic measurement was coming in. They wanted to put electronic measuring devices on the machines, because if you got the mix right and you ran the machine at the right speed and the right temperature, then the chances were that the product coming out the other end was going to be right, and you were not going to have to throw it out and waste, and it was going to cut your waste. But there was great resistance to the implementation of new technology.
And is this because machines were taking over from humans in carrying out the work? Or was it because there was a learning curve there?
I think there was a learning curve there. And certainly the man who was asked, is that mix ready? And said, yes, I've just poked it with the stick, and as far as I'm concerned, it feels right. Felt quite threatened when somebody said the mix is ready because the temperature is now such and such. And the moisture content is such and such according to these dials.
Yes.
And we don't need you to poke it with a stick anymore.
But is there a skill attached to papermaking?
Yes, but the skill was moving from the operatives on the machines to the people in the laboratories.
Hmm. All right. So, in fact, the whole making a paper had become very technical.
Because people saw that it was like anything else. If you got all the components right, it was going to be right at the end. And you weren't waiting until the end to test it. Mm-hmm. You tested it before you made it.
I see. Who were your people? Who were buying the paper when the paper was made?
Well, when I went there, the paper was being bought by Irish Independent, Irish Times, Irish Press, Newsprint, and the Examiner in Cork were big, and because Examiner in Cork, I think, had regional papers as well, but they were the big ones. They were the newsprint printers. And as well as that, there was a lot of paper went for printers. They were not into making board as such for packaging. Smurfits were doing that. So it was mainly paper for print, rather than paper for packaging.
And I know you said that there was a plantation where they cut the trees and the trees.
Well, they bought the trees from what was now Quilty, would have been whatever it was, Irish Forestry. And another thing was happening there, that they had this big plant that they took in, I think it was 2 meter logs, and they put them through a plant that stripped the bark off it and piled it up into heaps. At that time, nobody knew anything what to do with it. And nowadays, they sell it in garden shops. And then it chopped up those logs into wood pulp and made a goo out of it. And that was the basic raw material for paper. And with that would have gone some recycled paper. But not an awful lot, because recycled paper had to be bleached because it had printing ink on it. And that was, again, it was a difficult process and probably quite poisonous.
So there was very little recycling?
There was a certain amount of recycling, yeah. But not an awful lot. It was made from logs. Now, those logs were coming in on trucks. And what had also happened was that the forestries that were coming on stream were moving. And somebody said the wrong place to have a paper mill is in Clondalkin. If you want a paper mill now, you put it west of the Shannon. Because if you think back, there was a wallboard factory was established, I think it was up somewhere around Boyle or somewhere. And that was using timber, which was coming from west of the Shannon at the time. That's why it was put there, the wallboard factory at the time. I don't know whether it's still there or not.
And so was there a lot of people employed there in the factory?
There were 800. 800 people there.
What did that mean to the village of Clondalkin?
An awful lot. Clondalkin Paper Mills at that stage was Clondalkin, because Clondalkin had not really established itself as a dormitory suburb for Dublin. Remember, the motorway wasn't there. The Red Cow roundabout was merely a crossroads. And the whole development between Clondalkin and Lucan hadn't taken place.
Imagine.
Now, Clondalkin, at that stage, the railway went through it, the canal went through it, but the railway station had been closed for years. There was no railway stop in Clondalkin. And, of course, the canal was not commercial anymore either.
And are you saying that when the paper mill started, the explosion of the development started? You know,
A little bit, yes. I would say it was responsible for it, partly, because it brought money into the area.
What happened then? Did it all start to go downhill?
I think it started to go downhill because the market in Ireland was not sufficient to justify a plant that would make so much paper to be economical. To make paper economically, you had to make it 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, of the same type, because the money was lost when you had to change the machines from one thing to another.
Yeah.
If they could have made newsprint round the clock, they could have kept going. But there wasn't a market for that.
I see, yes.
It was too expensive here to do that. And also what happened, because of moving into the EU, imports were coming in. And for some strange reason, the big, and again, I wasn't in sales, so I don't know the exact details, but for some reason, there was an enormous amount of paper coming in from Brazil, which was very cheap. People said, of course, that it was very poor quality paper, but the printers who were buying it cheap and it was suiting their customer, they didn't care. I mean, at that time I remember hearing it said that it's the customer determines the quality, not the maker.
And the decision then to close down the factory...
I don't know. I wasn't there then. I had left before that.
And did you see that coming?
I saw it coming.
Was there anything... Did the management try anything to stop it from closing?
Yes, I think they did. At one stage... Now, again, I had left before it happened. At one stage, there was a management takeover. And the shares, it went... If a company goes public, I don't know what the opposite of it is, if it goes private, back to private. Because I had some shares in Clondalkin at the time, and there was a buyout. And the management team took it over. Now, whether they took it over to make it last, or because of the site, which of course is now Clondalkin Shopping Centre, a very valuable site, and they owned other property all around the place as well. Whether they did that as a financial decision, I do not know. But there was a change in management. Now, there are other people who know more about that than I do.
And that put 800 people out of work straight away?
Not straight away. It got to the stage where it was no longer viable. It was no longer viable. And it was probably, there were some other companies still left in the group, and it was probably pulling those down anyway. They were probably subsidising it, the printing companies.
What is it now? A shell? Or is somebody else?
There may be a paper wholesaler, Swiftbrook. Swiftbrook might be, is a paper wholesaler. They may be still in operation. I don't know whether any of the companies that they still own, that they owned, are still working. Dublin Print is gone. Cahill's the Printers may be there. Something else. Bailey Gibson's were print and package. I don't think they're there now, but I could be wrong. There may be just a smaller operation there. And certainly the printing company in Cork is gone, as far as I know.
Yeah.
The bag, they may still be making a place making Killeen. Killeen were the other people.
Was it a great loss?
I'd say it was one of these things that everybody said when it closed, that's the end of Clondalkin. But of course it wasn't like that. Because people survive. It's like in Waterford. Everybody said Waterford City would close down when Waterford last closed. It didn't. It didn't. People survive, people go on, there are changes and people cope.
What did you learn from your experience there?
That manufacturing industry in Ireland that was depending on the internal market was not going to survive.
And you proved that correct, because a lot of countries closed down.
I could see that coming. I could see that coming, that size was important. And there was no doubt that there was going to be work there as subcontractors to bigger companies.
Yeah.
And you only got to look even at the great Guinness, which is now a subcontractor to Diageo.
But the idea of paper coming into the country when we have the expertise and the knowledge of making it here at home, and plenty of trees, and plenty of ways of recycling paper.
Yeah, but there was more money to be made by sending the trees out to somebody else who had a bigger paper plant. I mean, don't forget, this country now exports Christmas trees.
Neville, it was a pleasure talking to you. Thanks.